With all the comparisons to the Saturday Night Massacre swirling about, one factor is decidedly different: the media landscape. Back in 1973, the media were almost universally critical of President Nixon. There was no right-wing media apparatus, at least not beyond the editorial pages. Today, we have Fox News and Breitbart and Daily Caller and Drudge to jump to the president's defense. And thanks to a recent change to FCC rules, our right-wing media juggernaut seems poised to grow even stronger. On Monday, the conservative-leaning Sinclair Media put in a bid for $3.9 billion to buy Tribune Media, a purchase that would make Sinclair the largest TV broadcasting company in the country. Paul Fahrey has been covering the Sinclair bid for the Washington Post. He says the media giant had humble beginnings.
Sinclair was founded by a fellow named Julian Sinclair Smith, and he had four sons. And his four sons are now the controlling shareholders of this company, which started with, I believe, two small UHF stations in the Baltimore area. They have grown by a series of deals, particularly since 1996, when Congress passed the deregulation law, which expanded the number of stations that broadcasters could own. Sinclair owns, I believe the number now is 173 stations, and most of those stations are in small to middle-sized markets. They don't own a lot of big city stations. The interesting part of the Tribune deal is that they would leap into the top 10 markets, Los Angeles, New York, Dallas, Chicago. They would acquire 42 more stations and give it enormous media power in the country.
You can own the stations, and you can have a kind of, I guess, corporate philosophy. And then there is proactively controlling the content on any given news broadcast, let's just say at 5 p.m. in Los Angeles.
The many dozens and dozens of Sinclair stations produce their own news, and most of it is local, and most of it is straight up and pretty solid. They win awards. They do all the things that every other news organization does. What Sinclair has done with these many, many stations is they will occasionally order something called a must-run story, one that must run on all of the stations ordered to run it. So during the campaign, they ran stories that were about Donald Trump's reminiscences of 9/11, stories about women campaigning for Donald Trump, and more critical stories about Hillary Clinton.
Historically, how pushy has the corporation been about making sure that its politics are represented on its news shows?
Let's go back to 2004, when Sinclair got a lot of criticism from Democrats about a plan to air a documentary that was going to take on the Vietnam War service of candidate John Kerry. It was produced by one of the offshoots of the Swift Boat Group, which was an overtly partisan outfit. And so it was hard to justify on a simply journalistic basis. Democrats complained, as I mentioned, and they backed down from doing it. Fast forward to 2012, Sinclair had a documentary that ran on many of its stations that was very critical of President Obama in his reelection campaign. There was no equivalent documentary about Mitt Romney at the time. 2016 campaign, the many Sinclair stations around the country did numerous interviews, dozens and dozens, with Trump and his surrogates. There was no equivalent series of interviews with Hillary Clinton and her surrogates.
Wasn't there a quid pro quo with the Trump campaign for access? You give us access and you can be sure that you're going to get some sort of easy ride?
Jared Kushner, in a speech to a business group in New York, said as much, but Sinclair itself denied that there was any such deal in place. They said it was all straight up. We come to the Trump campaign and say we are the local TV newscasters in the various cities he's campaigning in. Please come and give us interviews. Now, I will say it's kind of curious that the Sinclair stations repeatedly got access to Trump when other stations in the market, very eager to interview Trump and his surrogates, were not able to get that access.
So what we're looking at is one company with a history of partisan activism that is going to be in 74% of the U.S. broadcast markets offering local news coverage if this goes through.
Interestingly, one of the political connections of the Smith family, and particularly David Smith, the former CEO, is Ben Carson. Ben Carson was a neurosurgeon in the Baltimore area and became friendly with the Smith family, and particularly David Smith. And they've been kind of a sponsor in some ways of Ben Carson's political career. They put him on these panels on TV and they quoted him extensively. The Sinclair stations were the venue for Ben Carson's campaign announcement back in 2015. And Sinclair has a number of stations in the swing states, Florida, Ohio, Michigan, crucial to the last election. So their power is magnified by the fact that they can reach the most critical voters in those states.
That's not the only thing. What, as recently as 10 years ago, was a kind of crummy and declining asset, local TV stations, suddenly are cash cows because of the influx of political spending without limit under Citizens United. This is quite the triple play, not the one the cable companies are trying to sell you on, but a relaxation in media concentration to acquire stations in a hitherto unpermissible percentage of the marketplace, fueled by cash permitted by a conservative Supreme Court decision.
Yes, all of the above. The thing about the local TV station market is it's very cyclical. But one of the up cycles every 2 years is political advertising. And if you have a station in those swing states where the presidential campaigns are pouring money in, you have a golden goose. And that's one of the things that is driving Sinclair to acquire some of these stations.
So what is your best guess? Is this the biggest block of the right-wing media fortress that is going to now finally stifle straightforward news coverage in this country? Or is it just one more channel in an overall media environment that is just so infinitely large that the effect might be quite muted?
Local news is often thought of as the most trustworthy kind of news available to people. That's because it's local. People can see people they know on the air. They can see familiar anchors giving them the news. It's more or less news from down the street. So it has that influence. But remember, you're in an environment where there's lots and lots of competition. It's not the only thing on the air. The question for a public debate is, do we want to hand one company this kind of influence?
Paul, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob.
Paul Fahre is a media reporter for The Washington Post.
Coming up, do we need a new language to cover this presidency? The arguments for and against.
This is On the Media.